Guys, God wants us to take our eyes off our failures. Amen. And turn our eyes upon the Lord, the Savior and the lover of your soul today. And it doesn't matter what happened yesterday or the day before. Amen. Today is a new day for you, an opportunity. Amen. Just to connect and reconnect with the Lord and say, okay, Lord, we're going to do this together. Because by the grace of God, you and I will overcome. Amen. We trust in the Lord. Get ourselves out of the place of Savior. Amen. And put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Trust him fully for his grace. Amen. And God will take care of you. He will make a way for you. I can't do what I do without the grace of God. I trust in the Lord. You know, some people may be able to do this and just become professional clergy or whatever, go to school and get a bunch of theology. But guys, what we're called to do is beyond what we can do naturally. Amen. We need the grace of God. We need the power of God in our lives. So we need to pray daily that the Lord will fill us with the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. And enable us to live a life that honors and glorifies the Lord. How many know the Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus? Amen. He doesn't point to the servant. He points to the Lord of the servant. Hallelujah. So we don't make ourselves, amen, demigods or whatever. He is God. Amen. And we're just his bondservants. But we get to partner with him. We get to do what we're called to do. And I thank God that he saved me and turned my life around. And if the song, as the song goes, planted my feet on solid ground. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's by the grace of God that we will overcome to the end. Hallelujah. How do we overcome? Well, the Bible says by our faith, our confidence in God. Amen. And God bless you for coming this morning and listening to the right voice. And maybe you had second thoughts about getting up because it was rainy outside and I could sleep in. But you said, no, I know this is the more needful thing for me to do is to get together with my brothers and sisters. Amen. Because God not only has something for you, but you have something to give as well. God bless you for coming. Don't think that you're not important, that you don't have anything to offer. Because God made you the way you are for a reason. He's given you abilities and talents, and he wants you to go and trade with that, amen, and be faithful stewards over his grace. Hallelujah. So, all right. Now, question I get, maybe you've heard the same thing. Or actually, what I've heard, some statements that I've heard people make and some comments that have been made, when I may talk to somebody or try to witness to somebody about Jesus, that sometimes people will right away, they'll come up with, well, I consider myself a spiritual person. How many ever heard that? I'm a spiritual person. So, okay, interesting, you're a spiritual person. Spiritual could be very broad. And so we need to define what does that look like? What do you mean by spiritual? I mean, Satanists and witches also consider themselves to be spiritual. People in Eastern religions, I mean, Hinduism, they consider themselves to be spiritual. People in the New Age consider themselves to be spiritual. And of course, Christians, we should be considering ourselves to be spiritual, right? Because why? Because God the Holy Spirit is in us. Amen. God makes us spiritual, all right? So it's not of human origin. Our spirituality is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ at the center, right? Jesus Christ is the source of all life. So 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So a person, is it possible for a person to be spiritual but not be receiving the things of God? Okay, well, we have to ask the question, how many know that Satan himself is a creation of God? God created the angels, didn't he? He created all things. Amen. And we know that there was a rebellion in heaven. Amen. And Lucifer took charge of that rebellion. He was the head of that rebellion even to this day. And he fell. Amen. And he was cast out, cast down. And so, yeah, there's These are spirits. The Bible says that angels are ministering spirits to those who will be heirs of salvation. So God has given the angels to us, amen, to help us in our journey. However, we are never to look to the angel or put our faith in the angel or worship or bow down and worship these beings, amen? Any angel that would receive worship from a person is a fallen angel. The true angels of God will always point to Jesus. When John the Revelator, amen, had that experience when the angel was speaking to him and he bowed down before the angel, he said, "See that you do not do it, for I am of your brethren," amen, that have the testimony of Jesus. So the angel was very careful to point John, amen, to Jesus and not receive worship from him. So we need to be careful because today there's a lot of talk about angels. Everybody's got angels around their neck and little fetishes that they wear. They say, "Well, my little angel, I rub it and it gives me good luck." And how many know that that is an idol? Anything that you would put faith or confidence in other than the living God, amen, is an idol. And behind every idol is a demon. You may even experience some kind of manifestation through rubbing a crystal, for example. Amen? Or even, let me just say, the rosary. Okay? If you're just putting your confidence in the rosary as if the rosary itself has some kind of power, amen, to make you holy, then that's idolatry. Amen? Maybe it can be used as a guide, amen, to help somebody pray, to remember how to pray certain ways. But I think sometimes what happens is we put our faith or our confidence in things rather than the God of the things, amen, and the God of nature. Instead, people bow down and worship nature itself. Some people say, "Well, I'm closer to God out here hugging a tree," you know, or whatever. I mean, it is ridiculous, isn't it, to think that people would actually worship a tree, but people worship a tree. You know, because I think we're all designed, amen, to worship. We were created for God, amen? And so the enemy wants to come in and substitute himself for God. He wants us to worship him. And so we have to be very careful when we hear that term spiritual. We need to define what spirituality really is, true spirituality. Natural man. He builds his life on what he thinks is best, not on what God is saying. So you and I know what it's like to have ideas and about things, about life, and even say, "Well, to me, truth is this or truth is that." As if truth is based upon my opinion and not based in reality. How many know your opinion can be wrong? Your opinion cannot be based in reality or in truth. So we have to be very careful that we are really trusting in the Lord and not in ourself, not in man. In Proverbs 21:2, this is really speaking of the natural man, as we were all born in Adam, separated from God. And in our natural reasoning, actually, the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. You know, if I thought it, then it must be right. Amen? And let's face it, everybody can say, "Well, God told me to tell you." Anybody can tell you to say, right, that God told me to tell you. And you need to be careful that you're really hearing from God, amen, because sometimes people are just prophesying out of their own heart. Or maybe they're getting information from that other one, amen. And the devil wants to shipwreck you and get you off course. So you got to be careful about even people saying that they have a word for you from God. Amen. Now, we need to be very careful that we don't just rely on other people, hear me, to tell us what God is saying to us. This is where so many get into trouble. They're going around looking for a word. Tell me what God is saying to me. Rather than knowing God themselves and knowing his voice and receiving from God. If a person is called to a prophetic office, they prophesy over somebody, amen, it's going to bear witness with what God has revealed already in your heart. It's not going to be something rogue or, "I never even thought of that before." Because if you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have the teacher with you, amen? And so if somebody's going to prophesy into your life, it's just going to confirm what God has already revealed to you by His Spirit. Amen? If the same Spirit in them is the same Spirit in you, and that's the Holy Spirit, amen, then you're going to come together in agreement. And you're going to know this is God. But be careful, because there's some people that are too lazy to take the time to really seek God and pray and discover what God is saying to them. Instead, they're just going to go around and try to take a shortcut and get somebody else to tell them what God is saying. Come on, somebody. So, let's face it, none of us are good judges of ourselves. We can't really judge our own life adequately. We may think that we're good judges, and so what we can do is rationalize or justify any behaviors in our lives if we want to. We can try to fool ourselves. Has anybody ever tried to do that? Fool yourself? Convince yourself that what you're doing is right, but deep down inside you know it's not. And there's that other party that's just, you know, convicting you, the Holy Spirit is convicting you, and but you're trying to just silence that voice. You don't want to hear that. You want to do what you want to do. And so you're going to look for a way, right, to say, I'm okay. How's it going? Oh, it's going great. How's it really going? Well, let me tell you. Let's get honest, right? Now, it may be going great for you, and I praise God when it's going great. But how many know that we all have struggles in this life, right? I think you all know that, don't we? We have struggles sometimes, and we need God's counsel. We need His grace. We need His help. And that's a good thing, because we're in a place of need, amen. We're in a place of humility and a recognition that my strength has to come from God and not from me to overcome this obstacle. If it's an addiction, I have to realize that in myself, I don't have it necessarily, amen. I have to trust in God and His ability to set me free from this thing. God is able. God is not weak. But if we don't believe that God is able, then His grace will not be released, because God will release His grace where there is faith, where there is a confident assurance that God can do what He said He can do, that God can set the captive free. For this reason, Jesus came, amen, to set the captive free. And He sent His Holy Spirit upon His church, amen, so that we can do the works that Jesus did, and we can pray, amen, and break the yokes of the oppressor off of people. We can set captives free. We can prophesy, amen. We can heal the sick. We can do these things that God told us to do. We can proclaim the kingdom of God, amen, because of the Holy Spirit within us and our dependence upon Him. You see, we can educate ourselves and receive a lot of knowledge and information. We can get proud of ourselves and all of our information and all of our knowledge. And boy, did we wax eloquent, and boy, did we impress people with all that we know. And as soon as we start thinking it's us, you fall from grace. You don't have grace, amen? And you're setting yourself up for a fall. You got to be really careful to understand that this life that we're called to live is impossible apart from the ability of God that He supplies by His Spirit. Amen. That's why we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So the book of Hebrews calls God the Father of spirits. Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? So as we have a natural father, an earthly father, we have, what, a heavenly Father. So true spirituality is living in God, who is spirit and who is the Father of our spirits. He's the creator of all. And apart from God, man is spiritually dead. So to be separated from God, who is spirit and who is life, is to abide in death. So unless a person is born of the Spirit of God, they're still in death. And a person in death cannot live, amen, the life that God calls them to, because it has to be by the ability that God supplies, by His Spirit dwelling within us. Are you hearing me, somebody? So some people think, I'm just going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try a little harder. I'm going to make some changes in my life. And you can find out that you may be able to do some things, But you can't do all that God requires of you because you can't do what God calls you to do apart from Him and the ability He supplies again by His Holy Spirit. So we need to receive the Holy Spirit. We need to know that God is in us, and we need to rely upon the grace of God daily to overcome this world. As Jesus said, I have overcome the world. So in Christ, we also overcome. Matthew 4:16, one of my favorite verses. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. You know, this is talking about God's ancient people, wasn't it? But it's also speaking about you and I. All of us who have been separated from God through sin. As long as we're in Adam, we're still in death. We're still in darkness. But when you come into Christ, you come into light. Amen. And when you have light, you can see. When you have light, you can understand. When you have light, the hidden things are exposed. And there's no place for the cockroaches to hide. Amen. And so God wants you and I to be filled with His light, the light of Christ. Amen. In our hearts, so that we can see clearly. The Lord is the one who came to reconcile us back to life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, one of my favorites, yours too. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You have to be a new creation. You can't be a patch-up of the old thing. You can't be an improvement upon the old thing. You must become new. This is a work that God does, amen? Not what we do, but what He does. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, that's the church, the ministry of reconciliation. Be reconciled to God. Amen? Tell people, listen, there's hope. There's a way for you to be free, hallelujah, from the bondage, the slavery of sin, and for you to come out of the darkness and into the glorious light of Christ, amen, and have a brand new life, a new beginning in Him, eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if anytime anybody seeks counsel or guidance or provision or protection from any spirit other than the Father of spirits is idolatry and is forbidden by God. Now, Isaiah 8 and verse 19. Someone may say to you, let's ask the mediums and those who consult the spirits of the dead. With their whisperings and mutterings, they will tell us what to do. But shouldn't people ask God for guidance? Should the living seek guidance from the dead? Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His word are what? Completely in the dark. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 now. Look to God's instructions and teachings. People who contradict His words are completely in the dark. In verse 21, they will go from, listen, from one place to another, weary and hungry because they are hungry. They will rage and curse their king and their God. They will look up to heaven. In other words, a curse will come upon people when they start toying with the enemy. Amen. And down at the earth, but wherever they look, there will be trouble and anguish and dark despair. They will be thrown out into the darkness. We know that these things are, we should have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather we should expose them. And then God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, when you enter the land the Lord your God is giving you, be very careful not to imitate the detestable customs of the nations living there. For example, never sacrifice your son or daughter as a burnt offering. And do not let your people practice fortune telling, or use sorcery, or interpret omens, or engage in witchcraft, or cast spells, or function as mediums or psychics, or call forth the spirits of the dead. Necromancy. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It says anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. It is because the other nations have done these detestable things that the Lord your God will drive them out ahead of you. So he says don't get involved in the same practices of the nations that you're dispossessing. But you must be blameless before the Lord your God. Why? Because the Israel was to represent God, amen, in the earth. Likewise, you and I are to represent the Lord today, amen? So we should have nothing to do with the darkness. We're children of light. Halloween, Harry Potter, Ouija boards, Dungeons and Dragons, and even many of the children's cartoons and the toys are all based on the very things that the Lord says are detestable to him. They're occultic in nature. And just like John was saying, they take these costumes and they take these candies this time of year and they assign curses to them. And spirits to them, even those costumes. And so you got to be very careful that you are discerning, amen, about what you allow in your life. And you and I cannot discern properly. We can't judge properly apart from the Spirit of the Lord. He is the teacher. He's the Spirit of truth. He will lead you what into all truth. So we need to rely upon the Lord. But if we are toying with the darkness, just like we just read, then what will happen is darkness will overtake us. So people, I don't care if you call yourself a Christian, if you're toying with dark things, you're giving the devil opportunity to come in, amen, and blind you. Bring you into darkness to where you're not discerning anymore. You're not able to discern anymore because you're blind. A person who is blind does not know often what it is to see. It's just like I use the illustration of lenses, you know. If you never had your eyes tested and you grew up as a child, you know, having difficulty seeing, that was normal to you. I've been looking a little bit about the situation in North Korea and the things that the people endure. And how can those people be so loyal to this dictator because they've completely kept them shut off from anything outside of what they want them to know and believe. And so they've been under this spell of this cult leader, basically, which is demonic. And so they're just totally caught up in this fantasy. And that's what the enemy wants to do, is he, just like he did with Samson, he wants to pluck your eyes out. He wants you to first compromise, and then he'll pluck, what did they do? They plucked his eyes out. They blinded him. And that's what the devil wants to do. Amen. That's why we need to be very careful how we live. Amen. And we need to walk as children of light and avoid anything that has anything to do with the dark side. You don't play with Harry Potter. You don't look at those books and those movies and think, oh, it's no big deal. I realize it's fantasy. Why would you entertain with yourself with something that God says is detestable? We should automatically know that if the Spirit of God is in you, amen, if you're walking in the light, you should see this. You should know this. Ephesians 5:11 says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. God's word is light. Amen. The entrance of his word brings light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead and Christ will give you light. The Lord will reveal the truth to you by his Spirit. I can remember when I was in youth ministry years ago. And young people would come in with little fetishes and things hanging around their necks. You know, some of them were very much connected to the occult world. And they just thought they were cool. You know, I'm just wearing it because it looks cool. Or I'm wearing it because it gives me good luck. And I can remember on more than one occasion, when I remember one time in particular, I said to this young lady, I said, honey, you really shouldn't be wearing that around your neck. I said, that thing is a bullseye for a demon, you know. And before I could even explain any further, she just got her whole face, her whole countenance got really mad, angry. Like it was manifesting, the very spirit that was in that was controlling her. And then she took it and she just broke the chain right off her neck, threw it down and walked out of the room. Well, at least she took it off. But you see, if you're messing with something that is an idol in somebody's life, usually the natural or the carnal man is not going to like it. Right. Don't touch that. Okay, that's my little pet. Don't mess with this thing that I'm petting, okay, and then I'm allowing my life. And if you start to expose that thing, sometimes those critters get mad, amen? And they act out. It's just like you and I when somebody started talking to us about Jesus. I don't know about you, but I think I manifested a few times when they were talking to me. You know, because I didn't know better and I was caught up in that world and didn't, you know, I couldn't see a foot in front of my face and I didn't realize that I was blind. And the light I had was actually darkness. Until the true light of Christ shone into my heart, amen, and exposed the lie. And the truth set me free from the lie. Today, in the New Testament, because some people will say, well, that's just the Old Testament. Come on, we just read from Ephesians. He's saying that the church of God should not have anything to do with these unfruitful works of darkness, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6:9, you all know this very well. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. We have to read that together, okay? Verse 11, and such were some of you. How many here have come out of that? How many here have repented of those things? Amen? Maybe you used to do those things, but not any longer. I've come out of that. I've repented of my sin. I've turned away from it, and I've turned to Jesus Christ now. I have committed my life to Him and to His way. Amen? To His service. And so, but you, those who what came out of that, who were in that, were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. So we know that Jesus is the Word of God. Amen? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How many know that outside of the boundaries of God's Word is death? Outside of the boundaries of truth, there is only death. That's why God gives us the Word. The Word became flesh. Jesus spoke the very words of life. These words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. So the Word was manifested and revealed. Amen. The heart of the Father revealed through Jesus the Son. Amen. And when we heard the words, people said, no man ever spoke like this man. And they took note that he spoke with authority. He could because he was the authority. He was the king, amen, making the decree. And so in him, in Christ, in the Word, was life. Amen? So therefore, anything outside of him is death. In Christ, life. Outside of Christ, death. In the Word, life. Outside of the Word, death. Think of the Word of God, once again, as banks on a river. Amen? You gotta have the banks. The river is a wonderful thing. Amen? As long as it's within the banks. Hallelujah. Amen? But if that river overflows or gets out beyond the banks, come on, it can be destructive. We need the Spirit and the Word working together in Christ is where they meet. Amen? Christ is the fulfillment of all these things. He is the Word. And anything in Christ is alive. So in the areas of darkness, in the areas where we don't have truth, amen, these are the areas where the enemy can camp out and do his destructive works, amen, in people's lives. And that's why when we hear the message, when we hear the Word, when we hear the truth, we must repent then. We must turn away from those things and turn to God. So Christ will give you light. And when you have light, then you can discern. Then you can see clearly. I believe the reason why a lot of people, even Christians today, cannot discern is because of compromise in their lives. Because compromise will produce blindness. Or a lack of understanding, a lack of truth. That's why we should hunger and we should thirst for the Word of God. Amen? Because this is the light that God gives us. Because if you're not in Christ today, that means you're still in death. Because in Him is life. And the life was the light of men. What happened with Adam and Eve? They stepped outside the boundaries of God's word, and death was the result. You see, the enemy is always looking to get us to step outside of the boundaries of God's revelation, God's word to us. Are you hearing me today? He wants us to compromise. He wants us to add to or take away from the word, rather than receive it as the very voice of God speaking to me, the very oracles of God. So the word of God is precious to us. Amen. And we don't want to give ourselves any license, amen, to compromise truth or in any way to try to justify ourselves. When the light of God's word shines into our hearts and exposes us, amen, then that is the time when God has given you and I the opportunity, amen, to get free from that thing that we've been deceived by. We're giving God the opportunity now to say, Lord, I'm coming to you into the light. I'm leaving the darkness and I'm coming to you. I'm coming out of darkness and into light, because in light is where I can see. In light there is safety. In him is life. So they stepped outside of God's word and died. What did Jesus do? Jesus stepped inside or into mankind to redeem us back to himself. Now I made a couple of contrasts here between the natural man and the spiritual man. Are you ready for it? Say amen if you are. The natural man's life is centered in himself. The spiritual man's life is centered in Christ. The question again is, are you spiritual? Oh yeah, I'm a very spiritual person. Okay, let's put that to the test according to the word of God, all right? The natural man... his life is centered in himself. The spiritual man's life is centered in Christ. The natural man believes truth is what he determines it to be. The spiritual man believes truth is what God says. I'll say it again. The natural man believes truth is what he determines it to be. The spiritual man believes truth is what God says. The natural man says, if it doesn't feel good, I won't do it. How many Christians live that way? If it doesn't feel good, I won't do it. The spiritual man says, I will do it because it's right in the sight of God. How many know that there's a struggle sometimes overcoming the flesh? There's a struggle sometimes getting over a besetting sin. Amen. There's going to be some sacrifice of the flesh. Amen. So you can walk in the Spirit. You have to be a denier of yourself in order to follow Christ. You cannot serve Christ and self simultaneously. You have to decide who's going to be master of my life today. The natural man lives to please himself. The spiritual man lives to please God. The natural man lives to please himself. What's in it for me? The spiritual man lives to please God. God, what can I do for you? The natural man boasts in himself. Let me tell you what I did. Look how great I am. Oh, I won't go there. I was just listening to something the other day. A politician was waxing eloquent and praising herself. And I'm like, oh, please. The natural man boasts in himself. The spiritual man boasts, what? In the Lord. If we're going to make our boast in the Lord, it means we're going to give God the praise that He deserves. Because if I've accomplished anything, I need to give God thanks for that and praise, understanding that any ability that I had to accomplish anything was first of all given to me by Him as a gift. Amen. And I'm going to need to get past the gift to the giver of the gift and give love back to God. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord. You're so good to me. Hallelujah. So you see the contrast here. One is centered in self. One is centered in Christ. Right? One is determining within oneself, this is what's true. And the other one says, what God says is what's true. And if what I'm thinking is not in agreement with what God is saying, then I need to repent, change my mind, and get into agreement with the Word of God. And sometimes the will of God's not going to feel good initially. Sometimes God's going to call us to do something that's going to make us uncomfortable in the flesh. Come on. But you've got to overcome that flesh. You can't let that flesh tell you what to do. You've got to tell it what to do. Where to go. The spiritual man says, I will do what God says because it's right in the sight of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 once again, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The question again is, are you a spiritual person? Because a tree is known by its fruit. You and I will bear the fruit of that which we focus on, that what we, amen, are centered in. If I'm centered in self, my life will be selfish. If I'm centered in Christ, amen, my life will be an expression of Christ, of love, amen, and good works. So we've got to rely upon God, the Holy Spirit. John 16:13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, Romans 8:14, are the children of God. What does the Holy Spirit do? He will glorify the Lord. The Holy Spirit will never bring attention to himself. He will always bring attention to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will not bring attention to the messenger, but he'll bring attention to the Lord of the messenger. Amen. And then whenever we attempt to build our lives on that which we think is best and not on what God says is best, we're building our lives on sand. As Jesus gave us that illustration, didn't he? In Luke 6:47, he said, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Our lives must be built upon the truth. They must be built upon the truth of God's word. Not what I think is truth, but what God says. Not my opinion of life, but the author of life, amen, revealing to me what is true. We need to guard against relying on others, I said it earlier, to hear from God, to hear God for us. Because we need to study to show ourselves approved. We must know what God says. Praise God we have Bibles, amen, in this nation. When's the last time you opened it and looked at it, amen? We need to digest this thing. We need to devour this book, amen? This is life to us. We must be able to distinguish God's voice from all others. How are we going to know His voice? You got to know the Word, amen, to know the Word of God. You need to have the written Word to have the revelation of who the living Word is. Amen? These words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So when you read this book, read it as if, and it is, the literal, actual word of God speaking to me. We need to be Holy Spirit sensitive today, not seeker sensitive. It's not about going about pleasing man and finding out what the people like so they can be comfortable and they'll come to our church and... But let's be true to God. Amen. God help us to remain true to Him and not compromise to please man. If man is not going in the direction of God's will for you, don't follow him. Amen. And if somebody is dragging you down rather than up, avoid them as much as you can. Amen. We need to go higher than the opinions of men. And we got to listen to the voice of God. And let me just say this, don't listen to those voices that would cause you to disbelieve or question what God is saying. Sometimes when we're going through a trial or a situation in life, and we're seeking God's counsel, and because we're desperate, God, I need an answer. I need to hear from you. You know, sometimes even well-meaning brothers and sisters can be an instrument of the enemy. And when God wants you to have full confidence in what He has promised you and that He's going to come through for you, He's going to take care of you. Amen. He's going to direct your path like He promised to do. You may have somebody that's well-meaning that just may come up and talk you out of believing God. Have you ever had that happen? When somebody is like, they're instead of encouraging you, they're discouraging you. When you pray for somebody, we should pray with faith that that person's going to be healed. Do I believe this person is going to be healed? We should pray as if it's already a done deal, because healing is already now available through Jesus Christ, amen, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we need to come as children, the simple childlike faith, and believe that God will do what he said he would do. Let's pray the prayer of faith, amen. So if we're going to pray for somebody, let's pray and believe that God's going to answer, amen, that God's going to answer that prayer. Hallelujah. Because you've got to be careful, because some people will be right there to say, well, brother, you need to go to the doctor. You just got done praying for him. And the next thing I'm like, oh, you got to go to the doctor. You should really get that checked out, brother. Why don't we first believe God, amen? If God tells you to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. But I believe so often we're running to the doctor because we're not waiting on God. God wants to perform and do a miracle in your life so that he may be glorified in that miracle. And so often in America, because we have access to the medical so easily and so readily, we don't wait on God. I don't want to fast and pray. I just want to go to the doctor and get a pill. Just give me a pill. You know, people in brothers and sisters that in the poor countries that don't have what we have here, man, they're seeing miracles all the time. Why? Because they said, we have another alternative except believe God. And that's what we need to do. We need to first believe God. Amen. And always believe God. Hallelujah. Sometimes I see this shift because, well, God didn't do it. God didn't do what I asked him to do. So from here on out, I guess I'm just going to live in disbelief. I'm not going to ask anymore because God doesn't do it. God doesn't do what he says. And the enemy sometimes will get people to living a lifestyle of unbelief, to where they no longer believe God for anything. But they put all their faith in psychiatry or in the doctors or in the medical profession. And I thank God we have doctors. Amen. I believe God can work through that. But I think that we should first and foremost in everything seek first what? The kingdom of God. Seek the Lord first. And wait on God. Don't be in such a hurry, amen, to give and throw the towel in and just accept, well, it's not going to happen. We need to be Holy Spirit sensitive. And be careful of who you hang around with. Be careful about hanging too tight with people who don't believe what you believe. If we listen and obey the voice of the Lord, our souls will prosper. So natural man, let's face it. Naturally, we're centered on being happy, popular, successful, rich, respected, comfortable, entertained. And if you build your life on these things, you're building your life on the sand. Your life does not consist even in the abundance of the things you possess. Amen? Stuff. Some people are so tied up in their stuff and so dependent on their stuff that their house is packed from floor to ceiling with stuff. So there's standing room only because the stuff gives them a sense of comfort. How many know that's an idol? If your stuff is what's making you feel comfortable and at peace, come on, we need to trust the living God who provides everything richly. God will take care of us. Amen. But don't put your faith in the thing that he gave you. Look past that and give God praise. Amen. So if you're in Christ today, you and I, right, we need to choose to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, I say it often, but God gives us charge. He says, you're in charge of your life. And I'm laying before you death and life, blessing and cursing. Choose which direction. If you follow the Spirit of the Lord, you'll have life and peace. If you want to follow your own selfish desires, your own passions, then you'll receive the benefit of that, which is death. You want to live in life? live in Christ. Anything outside of Christ, anything outside of the Word of God is death. And if you don't live within the boundaries of God's Word, His revealed Word, amen, then you're abiding in death. You can't play on both fields. You can't live two worlds simultaneously. You cannot be double-minded. Either you're in Christ, or you're in Adam, or you're in the world. If you're born again, if Christ is in you, then the Bible says, then let us also walk according to the Spirit. Amen? If you're in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Trust the Lord every day for the grace that you need, amen, to overcome in this world. And don't make excuses for your life. Don't try to rationalize what you're doing. If God says stop it, it means stop. Because God's not going to tell you to stop something without giving you the ability to stop. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He's not weak. Amen, brother? God's not weak. He's an all-powerful, almighty God who can do anything. The same God who spoke all things into existence. The same God who holds us together. Amen. At the molecular level, by the word of His power, is able to take care of our puny little deal. How big is our God? He's awesome God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to His mighty power at work within me. Are you a spiritual person? A spiritual person is a Christ-centered person. A spiritual person is a person that walks in the Holy Spirit, trusting and rely up and leaning upon the ability that God supplies. Amen. That's true spirituality. Amen. It's not all these people that just go around and mom. Amen. And open themselves up to whatever wants to jump in. Be careful, these people that tell you to empty yourself out. Amen. If you're emptying yourself out, you better be filling yourself up with something good. Amen. And not just saying, whatever, come in, come in. The devil's a liar. How many here are coming out of darkness completely? Amen. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. We're children of light. Walk in the light. Amen. As He is in the light. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation 3:20 and 21. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as also I overcame and sat with my Father on His throne. Hallelujah. We have the overcomer in us, in Christ. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning. Ask yourself this question. Do you truly have the Holy Spirit of God in you? Is Christ in you? Have you been born of His Spirit? You must be in Him to be in life. Outside of Him is only death and self-effort. But you must be in Christ to have life. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. The Lord is calling you to open the door of your heart to Him today. If you hear His voice as God spoke to you this morning, open your heart. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit right now. Take that time right now. If you need to confess something before God that He's revealed, that you've been indulging in, that is not of Him, confess it to Him and renounce it right now before the Lord. And open your heart and say, Jesus, I want You to come and flood my soul, to fill me up, Lord. Come into my house, Lord. Come into my heart, Lord. Come into every area of me, every void, every empty place. Lord Jesus, I want You to fill my life, to fill my cup. I welcome You, Lord Jesus. You said those who come to You would not cast out. So, Lord, I come to You today. Would you just say to Him, Lord Jesus, I come to You. And I ask You to forgive me. For all my sins, to wash me in Your blood, and to fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, clothe me in Your fullness, Your righteous armor. and lead me in the way I should go. Break every yoke of Satan in my life. Destroy every assignment of the enemy in my life. In Jesus' name, I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin and destroys the work of Satan. I am a child of God. Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Amen.